May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 913. 'Tis the gospel's joyful tidings, full salvation sweetly sounds, grace to heal thy foul backslidings, sinner, flows from Jesus' wounds. 913.
read together from God's holy word, the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 15. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 15. We'll begin reading at verse 33 and then read in the whole of the last chapter, chapter 16. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 15, beginning at verse 33. When the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed, and gave him to drink, saying, let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. When the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out, and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph, and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him. And many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honourable counsellor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate, and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marvelled if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he brought fine linen, and took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a sepulchre, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulchre. And Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. behold a place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they heard that he was alive, and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. May God bless that reading of his holy word and help us in prayer. Most kind and gracious Lord, we bow before thee this morning hour with thankful hearts as we gather at this time of the year, when we in particular remember thy glorious resurrection. We do thank thee, dear Lord, for that finished work, as we have been reading of, the Lord Jesus Christ laying down his life for his friends. We do pray earnestly, Lord, that thou wouldst confirm to each one that we are amongst thy dear people, loved with an everlasting love, saved with an everlasting salvation. And Lord, though there may be a Mary here who feels to have seven devils, yet thou art the friend of sinners, and the vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel their need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. And we do thank thee, Heavenly Father, for thy love. And we do thank thee, Heavenly Father, for thy beloved Son, in whom thou wast well pleased. And yet thou didst not spare him when thou didst lay the punishment of thy people's sins on him. And we do thank thee, Lord, for thy blessed Spirit that works in the hearts of poor sinners and convinces of sin and then leads to a precious Christ as the sinner's only hope and only plea. We do pray, Lord, for these signs to be found amongst us, broken-hearted sinners, falling before an almighty God, calling upon him for mercy. It's thy work and thy work alone, and it may appear in our lives. May we see thy hand working here and there. We do pray, Lord, that thou art work. We do live in a day of evil things. And Lord, we do not despise the day of small things. Oh, but Lord, when we see such need, we cannot, Lord, be satisfied. But we would ask thee still for more. We would plead with thee to have mercy upon our churches and our denomination. Have mercy upon our friends and families, those we know and love. Oh, but have mercy upon us. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. May that be the language of each, Lord, we pray. May we each in the fullness of time prove to be thy dear children. We plead then that finished work, that precious blood shed for sinners. Oh, that it may be applied to our doorposts and our lintels, that we may be found sheltering beneath it. As we think of the Passover, oh, but we thank thee for our Passover lamb, that lamb without blemish and without spot. We do thank thee from the bottom of our hearts for these unspeakable mercies, that truly thou hast not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. We thank thee, Lord, that that trumpet has not been blown, and that this world is still continuing. We thank thee for that door of hope. We thank thee for the praying ground we're on this day. Oh, do awaken many sinners to hear thy voice, to see a never-ending eternity stretching out before us, and to see the law broken by us in every way. We pray then for mercy. Thou have mercy upon us. Mercy upon us as we gather round thy word this day. We cannot enter into these things, Lord, unless thou dost draw us. Oh, but we're here, and we're waiting. We've come with anticipation. We've come with a prayerful desire that the Lord Jesus Christ may be revealed. Oh, show us that loving man that rules the courts above. May we hear his voice, feel his touch, see his face. Do shine upon us, we pray. May thy word this day touch hearts and meek cases. May sinners be quickened into newness of life. May there be some good things done this day in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. be with longing, seeking souls. Those, Lord, seeking thee for that first time. Those, Lord, seeking a renewing of former blessings, a restoring of the joy of their salvation. We pray, Lord, for each. We'd remember those, Lord, who have no concern. Or may there be none here without a concern. But, Lord, if there are, we would pray earnestly that thou wouldst give them that need of a hiding place. Oh, Lord, leave none out. Pass none by. We pray for those unable to be here. We would remember them where they are and ask thy blessing to rest upon them. Thou art not bound by walls. Lord, do go right where they are. And do touch those mountains that they may flow down at thy presence. We do pray that, Lord, thou would be with those in affliction's pathway. We think of the little one unwell, be with her, and we think of the parents. Lord, remember them each, we pray. And in all these circumstances, in these hard, difficult things that one and another have, some known, some unknown, but all known to thee, may they all work together for our real good. Though it may not be the good of our health or our bank balance, but may they be for our real eternal good, that thou use them and sanctify and apply them, that we may be formed for thy praise, formed for thyself, that we may show forth thy praise. Be with the church and congregation here. Thou hast been their help. Leave them not, neither forsake them. O God of their salvation, may they be dwelling together in unity. May they esteem each other better than themselves. May the mind of Christ be in us. Oh, may we be humble. And may we have that love of Christ in our hearts, that precious blood sprinkled in our hearts, softening influence of it. May it affect us. May that zeal flow from thee. O Lord, who build us up on our most holy faith, lead us into thy word. Bring us nearer to thee. Make us more like thee. How often we feel so far off and so different. So far from what we should be. But Lord, thou canst do all things. Do bring us to thy feet. May we be found continually coming back to thee. Oh, do hold us fast. Keep us near thee. Leave us not, Lord. Leave us not to ourselves. Leave us not to be a prey to Satan. Leave us not to be busy with things of this life. Busy in the affairs of this life and yet cold and indifferent to the things of God. Oh, do draw us, Lord, we pray. We cannot come unto thee except thou dost draw us. We cannot approach unto thee but through thy beloved Son. Oh, may that scepter be held out. May we find acceptance through him. May the love of Christ constrain us and compel us. May we take up the cross and follow thee. We pray, Lord, for each. Thou knowest the cases of each. the burdens, the needs, the concerns, the hard things. Thou knowest, Lord, the joys and the sorrows. Oh, Lord, do be with us in whatever state we're in, whatever place we're in. But in all conditions, may we be found looking unto Jesus. May we not be found resting on our own self. Keep pride from us. Take away unbelief. Put thy fear in each heart. Be with the children, we pray. Bless them, Lord, if it could please thee, while they're young in life. Spare them from a life of sinning and grieving thee. A misspent youth, but may they be found walking with thy fear in their hearts, a tender conscience, and keep them from the evil of the world. O Lord, we live in an evil world. We do pray that the prayer of our Lord Jesus may still be answered for us, that thou wilt keep us from the evil. We do have to confess how evil our hearts are. We dare not, Lord, trust our own hearts for a moment. Oh, to be found clinging and cleaving to thee and to thy word and to thy people. So we thank thee, Lord, that thou hast brought us into thy house. May thy blessing rest upon the services of thy house this day. And may it be when we leave this evening that it can be said it was good for us to go up to the house of the Lord. Oh, that it may be noised that Jesus was in the house, and that we may leave with something to ponder, something to think over, something to beat out in the coming week. So, Lord, send none empty away. Fill each heart with thy love. Pour out, Lord, open thy hand. Pour out a blessing from above. We're not deserving of these things. But, Lord, we've had prayer heard and answered. And that was for Jesus' sake and not ours. And so we come pleading his name and his merits. And we pray all these things and ask humbly for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 845. The praise of Christ, ye Christians sound, his mighty acts be told. Death has received a deadly wound, he takes but cannot hold. 845.
Thank you.
Would you turn with me to the chapter we read, the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 16. With the Lord's help this morning, I'll speak to you from verses 3 and 4. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 16. With the Lord's help, I'll speak to you from verses 3 and 4. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. We gather on Easter Sunday, when we, in particular at this time of year, remember the glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we read the accounts in the Gospels of the Lord Jesus, the last week of his life here, before he laid down his life at Calvary, and as we read through the various events, we're favoured. You see, we know the end of it. We have the gospel revealed to us. The purposes of God in all these dealings are revealed to us. We must remember that for the disciples and for those followers, in particular Mary this morning, they were living through it. And there was fears, and there was doubts, and they were anxious, and they were sad. And we must remember these things. What struck me really over the last few days, thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ laying down his life, when you read the things that he suffered, when you take the time to consider him, to consider that contradiction of sinners against himself, when you see the suffering and the things he endured, what struck me was this: the abhorrence of sin to an almighty God. You know, that really is it. Revealed to us, really, isn't it? It is the abhorrence in the sight of an almighty God of sin, his hatred of it, his pure hatred of it. In this, he hates our sins, that the sins of his church, that the sins of his dear people, his hatred of it is such that he spared not his only begotten Son. He loved his Son. He loves his Son. His only begotten Son, in whom he is well pleased. And yet he spared him not. You know, in that garden, as the Lord Jesus Christ walked into that garden to bear the punishment of sin, the eternity of punishment for each one of his dear children laid on him there. You know, his Father in heaven, he didn't stay his hand in any way. And I can't understand that, you know, but that's the abhorrence of sin. But his own beloved Son is prostrate in the garden, and there the wrath and anger and punishment for sin the sins of his people is laid on him. It's solemn, isn't it? And can we sin lightly? Do these things have an effect on us? Do we see that our sins are hated in that degree? That it's an eternity of punishment if you and I are to pay for our sins? That's it really, isn't it? We've just sung it in the last verse. The wicked too shall rise again. The difference will be this. They rise to everlasting pain. They have an eternity of bearing the punishment of sin. And it will never end. Such is his abhorrence of it. They will never pay that debt. They will never put away the sin. They'll never get to the end of the punishment. The sentence is forever and ever. The pain is forever and ever. The wrath of an angered God will be forever and ever upon them. And yet he didn't stay his hand. When he looked down in love upon his dear church, his dear people, when he gave that gift to his beloved son, to make a way where they can be found in heaven at last, he knew what it would cost. He knew what it meant. Oh, he knew what it was, that great weight of sin. And he spared him not. He didn't say, well, you know, this is my people's sins. It's my son in that garden. I'll forget about them. I'll brush them away. I'll stay my wrath. Oh, it's my people. They didn't mean it. They didn't know what they were doing. I'll stay my hand. But there in the garden, oh friends, you know there's a veil drawn over that garden. But we know a little. We know this, that none other than the Son of God could bear it. None other than the Son of God could bear it. And the Lord, the Heavenly Father, knew it. And he sent him to do it. He knew none other. None other could make a way. None other would be able to put away the sin. None other could live that life, the spotless life. None other could live a life free from sin, amongst sinners, sitting and eating with them, yet never partaking in one sin. Separate from sinners, but in with them. Oh, friends, and none other than a Son of God could do it. What love. And it's this, really, this morning. It's dying love. And what was it that drove these we read of? It was dying love. It was dying love that attracted Mary, wasn't it? You know, we read of her, don't we? She was there at the crucifixion, watching afar off. And we love these godly women, don't we? You know, his disciples, they all forsook him and fled. And yet here we see these godly women. And you know, they were there as he went into Jerusalem. And they were there at his crucifixion. And they were there as he lay down his life. And we read, as Joseph, and in the Gospel according to John, we read that Nicodemus was with him. And as those two begged the body of Jesus, and as they took the body and down from the cross and laid it in that tomb, we read this, and Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. You see, they couldn't stay away, could they? They beheld where he was laid. There was love. They loved Jesus Christ, the man. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, what was to be revealed to them, their understanding of his purpose, his laying down of his life. Why, these things troubled them, didn't they? I mean, Mary weeping at the tomb, the empty tomb. Oh, but you see, she had to be brought into the realization that the finished work of Christ is a risen and an exalted Saviour. We preach Christ crucified, but we preach a risen and exalted Saviour, risen triumphantly from the grave. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. And it was love that drew them. Oh, that this love drew us, would draw us this morning, would draw us in our lives, that it would draw us closer to him. You see, they couldn't take their eyes off him, could they? There was dying love that attracted them. A dying love her heart attracted. Soon she felt its rising power. He whom Mary thus affected bids his mourners weep no more. Oh, she goes and follows, and the Lord Jesus is laid in the tomb. And they beheld where he was laid, and they went away. And they prepared spices. And on the Friday, as the day closed, as the sun set and the Sabbath began, so they were prepared. They were prepared, ready for the first day of the week. And they rested the Sabbath day. And then early, the drawing influence, early, very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. They came to anoint the body of Jesus. They came to minister to him. Oh, they there was more to be done, they felt. Their love was drawing them, compelling them. They'd beheld where he was laid, but oh, they felt the need to anoint his body. But there was a great problem they had. They had greater problems that they didn't know of. But they knew of this problem. And it was a big one. There was a great stone that was rolled across the entrance of the sepulchre. And you know, they'd seen it rolled there. And they knew it. But you know, they didn't stop them preparing those spices when they reached home. It didn't stop them rising early in the morning the first day of the week. But they hadn't really any plan of what to do, but they must go there. They hadn't any idea how this stone could be moved away, out of the way. They knew it was there, but it didn't stop them. This love, there was zeal in their hearts. There was love, and maybe it was blind love. But you can't criticize the love that was in their hearts, can you? Oh, for more this love, that it would drive us when things don't seem, things seem impossible, yet the love compels us. Things don't, there's mountains before us. We're to walk in the fear of God, and there's mountains before us. But oh, for this love that drives us on, that moves us. This dying love that they had witnessed. You know, it had an effect on the centurion, hadn't it? had an effect on him. Oh, he had to confess it was the Son of God. And what about Joseph? You know, that man, you would say he was ashamed almost. But he was reserved, wasn't he? He was amongst those in high places. He was what's known as almost a secret disciple, wasn't he? But friends, you know, when a sinner sees a dying Saviour, that will do the deed. You know, these outer court worshippers, you know, that those who stand afar off, when there's a dying love viewed, when they see the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in their room, place, and stead, when they see a glimpse of him at Calvary, well, that will have an effect, won't it? That will do the deed. Oh, they can't stay away. They must come forth. What an effect it has. Joseph, he comes boldly unto Pilate. And that's the effect, isn't it? Dying love. A precious Christ. How much more precious is Christ when you see him in your room, place, and stead? When the Lord Jesus says, this was for you. When you are raised up to a little hope, it was your sins that were put away. Your redemption, your debt paid, your price met. Why, it moves. It moves those who feel its effect. And it moved Joseph. Boldly he comes. And what of Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night? There he comes, in full view. And both of them together, they take down the body of the Lord Jesus. Oh, that love. The love of Christ were in our heart. Oh, that the Lord, that the Spirit of God may take one here and one there and lead them to Calvary. Lead them to see mercy streams in streams of blood. See a joy flowing from his sorrow. Joy flowing to an unworthy worm of the earth. As the incarnate Son of God goes through agonies and death to make life for his people. Oh, that the Lord would lead one and another here. Then it will be that, won't it? Then will I tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour I have found. Oh, that you won't be ashamed of him anymore. How can you be? You won't be fearful anymore. The love of Christ in your heart. Why, one touch, one smile. Oh, it's all that's needed, isn't it? Oh, that this was done for you. Oh, yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. That's why, friend, I'm at Calvary. Because I've loved thee with an everlasting love. And nothing will separate you from the love of Christ. The love of God. Nothing. Not your own sins. Your own sinful heart. Not the powers of Satan and hell. Nothing shall separate his people. And oh, to see it. That separation being done away with. That way made. That ladder reaching from heaven to earth, the access, a way made, a way of approach through the Lord Jesus Christ, this dying love. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door? You know, they saw it. But you know, there was something else. They had gone away on the Friday evening, and it was the next day that the soldiers were sent and sealed the stone and set a watch. That the armed guards were there. They knew nothing of it. They saw one great stone before them, and that was the stone. But you know, there was an unseen barrier. There was an unseen danger. There was another mountain. And you know, friends, sometimes in our lives we have a great stone before us. There's a great mountain. And the Lord, in love, he hides the others. You know, one's enough for us. One's enough to do the deed. One's enough to bring us to his feet. One's enough to ask him for mercy. Sometimes there's more than one. Often we're shown that there's more than one, but sometimes they're not revealed. And there's an unseen hand dealing with unseen dangers and unseen problems. And they said, "Who shall roll us away the stone?" There was something they couldn't do. They wanted to anoint the body of their beloved Lord Jesus. They wanted to show their love. They wanted to attend to his body. They wanted access. They wanted to be found next to him, close to him. But there was this great stone. And who shall roll us away the stone? Something separating. That there's a lovely Lord Jesus. He's altogether lovely. And there's this barrier. And maybe that's how you feel this morning. How often our sins are a barrier, aren't they? We feel the mountain of sin. We can't approach him. We feel that there's this mountain of sin. How can I come to him? It seems this barrier is too much. There's a great stone, and it's rolled in the way. If only I could touch the hem of his garment. You like the woman? She can't touch him. There's a great press. There's a great crowd about him. There's a mountain. There's a great stone in the way. And you say, who will roll us away this stone? How can I deal with this stone? This mountain of sin. And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away. Beloved friends, what a mercy that will be. If there's one here who's come with a mountain, with a burden, you know, and it's been ever present with them. It's been on their minds. There's a weight on their minds. And you know, they had a glimpse of it, and it was there. And ever since, it's been on their minds. You know, what a mercy to go back, to tell the Lord Jesus, to tell him of this great mountain. And you know, when a sinner is brought to that place, when he's shown his sins, when he's convinced of them and shown them, and he's mourning over them, and he doesn't know where to go with them, as the Holy Spirit leads him to Christ as a sinner's friend, he has this mountain he's carrying with him, this burden, that there's this great stone. But you know, as he reaches the foot of the cross, As a sinner goes by faith to Calvary, he's seen the stone. He knows it's there. But you know, when a child of God, when a poor sinner is brought to that point, under the weight and the conviction of sin, and he looks to Jesus in all his weakness, in all his need, is this mountain, this rock, this boulder he can't deal with, and he looks to Jesus and he pleads for mercy and he begs forgiveness and he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he asks the Lord to deal with it. Lord, deal with this mountain. And then he's led, as the Lord, by faith, whispers a word into his soul. He looks for the mountain again, and it's gone. You know, they saw the great stone roll down on the Friday, and it troubled them all that night and all the next day. And they went to the sepulchre, expecting to see the stone still in the same place. But you know that what love is shown, the stone is rolled away. The stone is gone. There's nothing to do. Their needs are met. And then, you know, what were their hearts thinking when they saw the stone rolled away? Why, it was a great burden lifted, wasn't it? It was a great relief to them. It was, the barrier was gone. Oh, but then to go in and see an empty tomb. Beloved friends, they were led in the days following to see. Was Mary in hours, in moments following. It was a horror to her, that empty tomb. It was all her fears that they had taken away her Lord. She had come to anoint his body. What a mercy the stone was gone away. But now there's no body. What anguish in her soul. What anguish, what trouble in her heart. What sorrow. What a cruel blow that they'd done such dreadful things to her beloved Lord. They'd crucified him. He'd suffered so much, and now they'd taken his body. Oh, how that sorrow flooded into her heart. One stone rolled away, and another greater trial to her. But all things work together for good. Really, driving here this morning, thinking of these events, this great stone, their fears, and how they would have felt, and seeing the stone rolled away, and then the empty tomb, and how puzzling. But it was really this driving here this morning. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, how he orders all circumstances. In our lives, you see, you think that it will be the way that you want it. You map it out yourself. You say, just roll this stone away, Lord, and all will be well. And the stone rolls away, and what? What's happening? Why is this going like this in my life? I didn't expect this. I saw the stone that was the problem. It's rolled away. What love and what answer to prayer. And then what's there? Oh, with her it was an empty tomb. It was dreadful for her, she felt. It was the worst thing that could have happened to her. The stone rolled away and the Lord Jesus gone. Oh, but we know the end of it. We know that beautiful account in John. As she says, they have taken away my Lord. I know not where they have laid him. And she supposes the Lord Jesus to be the gardener. And he says to her, Mary, our friends, may it be our blessed portion that the Lord Jesus in our troubles, that the Lord Jesus in our soul troubles calls us by name. He says, Mary, all things working together for good. Oh, what a pathway a poor Christian has to walk, hey? What a pathway they have to walk. Trials and deliverances, joys and sorrows. An almighty God whose ways are mysterious, whose thoughts are way above our thoughts, whose paths are in the sea, they're past finding out. He moves in a mysterious way. And it was a mysterious way with her, wasn't it? That the stone rolled away, the empty tomb, but all pointing to her salvation, all pointing to her everlasting joy, everlasting salvation. Those words given to the disciples on the night in which he was betrayed, because I live, ye shall live also. And there he's died. And the body's gone. You know, Peter and John came to the sepulchre, and we read, but him they saw not. Him they saw not. May we prove this morning to be amongst the Marys. Oh, what love was shown to her. The disciples, him they saw not, but Mary. He'd cast seven devils out of her. Oh, what a sinner she was. What a poor wretch she was. And yet what love that the Lord displayed to her. How he loved her. How he loves his dear children. And them that honour me, I will honour. There she was, with that love in her heart, at his death. At his burial, and now at his resurrection, favoured with the first view of a risen Saviour. What mercy. Her seven devils that were cast out, what weren't a barrier. That mountain of sin that she had wasn't a barrier. That wouldn't separate her from the love of Christ. That wouldn't keep her from beholding an empty tomb. What a glorious thing it was revealed to her it was, an empty tomb. How she would have rejoiced over that in days to come. The empty tomb. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. But now to see it as love. Endless love, dying love, risen love. The Father raising his beloved Son, and with him every child of God. Raising them to an eternity in glory. You know, friends, really, in the doctrine of it, every child of God, from Adam to the end of time, it really is as good as in heaven, as they will be at the end of their lives. They're as good as in heaven now. They're as safe and secure as they ever will be. They're safe in their Redeemer's hands, who bears their names upon his heart. As he rose from the grave, at that triumphant resurrection, the stone didn't keep him in that tomb, you know. When the angel came and the thunder came and the angel came and rolled away that stone and sat on it, the Saviour was already risen. It was an empty tomb then that the angel revealed an empty tomb. Beloved friends, nothing shall separate the people of God from heaven. And what we see in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the safety of the people of God. If one of his dear children were to be plucked from his hand, he would have not arisen. Every one of them, every sin of his people put away, every last transgression of his dear children to the end of time, every one of them paid for, the price paid, everything finished. He wouldn't have cried, "It is finished," if it wasn't. And it was finished. Finished forever. Nothing left undone. Not one sin of his church unpardoned. Not one left to their charge. Not one child of God to be snatched from his hands. Not one of his children, even though they may backslide, fall away, yet they must be found right at last if they're in that book of life. Everything finished. Beloved friends, there's grounds for rejoicing this morning. There's grounds, isn't there, this morning for joy. For those of you who fear God, for those of you who believe on him and trust in him, isn't it a joyful morning this morning? Doesn't it do us good to remember his great work, what he did, what he accomplished? And may we each be found, those of you who have yet to feel that in your hearts, may it be your chief concern to be found amongst them. Does the empty tomb mean anything to you this morning? Does it bring joy in your heart? You know, does it fill your heart with love? Is it your hope, an empty tomb? Have you come this morning and you're feeling a little far off, a little cast down? Oh, but you see an empty tomb. You know, you've tomorrow and next week, you've mountains, providential difficulties and trials, and yet there's an empty tomb, beloved friends. And all that this life can throw at you, providentially, and it can throw a lot, but the worst it can do, what is the worst it can do? Friends, to have an empty tomb, have an interest in it, to see, yes, my life is all in a mess here. Oh, but my everlasting life, it's eternally safe, it's eternally secure. I might not have the things I want in this life, I might not have the things that others have. Oh, but I have this, an empty tomb, a risen Saviour, a precious Christ. I have the precious blood of Christ. I have the blood of Christ, the blood of his Son, which cleanseth us from all sin. And what more can I want? What more can a poor sinner want? Anything else in this life is really immaterial, isn't it? But oh, to have Christ, to know Christ and him crucified, to have that love in your heart. You may be a great sinner. You may be one of these 500 pence sinners. But oh, that love that will flow from it, as the Lord reveals pardon and forgiveness of every sin. That's it, isn't it? In that hymn we sing, really this is what Mary felt. Here it is, I find my heaven. While upon the Lamb I gaze, love I much, I've much forgiven. I'm a miracle of grace. You know, she could sing that, couldn't she, from that heart? I'm a miracle of grace. My life taking me one way down to the pit, into corruption, a never-ending eternity in hell. But for the sovereign love of God. Oh, but for the precious blood of Christ. But she met this wondrous man, Jesus of Nazareth, who was to become to her Jesus, the Son of God. And friends, may we have an interest in these things. Pray for it. Oh, but may we be led to see a need, a longing in these things. May there be a desire in our hearts. Show us that loving man. May Christ be revealed. May we have a want of it in our hearts. And if you're sitting there and feeling, well, these things are passing me by. Why am I not feeling these things? Why do I not have a thought towards these things? Why is it that I sit here week by week and come and go and nothing moves? May the Holy Spirit use these things. May it not be another Easter that passes by. May it be more than eggs and a long bank holiday weekend. May it be the gateway of heaven. May a Christ be revealed and a gospel day begun this day, and heaven begun below. May our hearts be drawn by the Holy Spirit to see the Lord Jesus Christ, the great stoop he made, the Father's love, his humility, and his obedience. And may we see all our shortcomings and failings, but see Christ as meeting every one of them. You think of the needs you have when you're to stand before an almighty God. Oh, you've come short in so many things, countless things we fall short of, don't we? Even those who profess his name, we fall so far short in everything. We come short. We have a heart that's so hard sometimes, something that wanders off and drifts off, a mind that wanders. But may we see, this is the beauty in him, isn't it? That he meets our every need, our every failing, everything where we come short is met in the Son of God. It is a lovely, wondrous man who meets his people's need, and he freely gives to his dear children, watches over them in this time, and more importantly, for eternity. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £795, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Parrish hopes to address the Sunday school this afternoon, and Mr. Wheatley expects to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. John Rosier next Lord's Day, who also hopes to address the Sunday school, and our friends at Oakington hold their special service on Monday. Let us close with hymn 1033. In Jesus combine all the riches of grace. What glory and grandeur I see in his face. Jehovah's eternal and co-equal Son took all our transgressions and made them his own. 1033.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.